all the technology behind the scenes. Thank you, Lizzie. We just want to shoot it and throw it out the window, right?
I'm telling you, you gotta love technology. They say we can't live without it. It's good stuff. Let's live like this.
We had a wonderful first hour, and we talked about poinsettias. If you missed any of the first hour show, you can always go back and listen to it on podcast. We will upload it right after the show today, and then you can also find it anywhere where you listen to podcasts, and it'll be on our Facebook page.
That sounds perfect.
That's it. And so instead of the dirty word today, sorry, John Denver, we're giving him the week off for Thanksgiving. I just had a great enlightenment this week. And, you know, there's so many different types of Schlumbergerus. And that's the name of the species for the Christmas cactus. And there are some different species involved with this. But I was fascinated to find out that they grow on rocks in their native country of Brazil. They're endemic to Brazil.
Hmm.
And they grow on rocks and in trees. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. But how do you tell, you know, what kind of cactus it is? Because you call it a holiday cactus because there are some varieties or species that bloom at Thanksgiving, and they would be a Thanksgiving cactus. And then they have some that bloom at Christmas time, and that would be a Christmas cactus. And then they have some that bloom at the Easter time. And so how do you know which one is which?
Okay, I just sent you a picture of the four that I just bought and then replanted or potted.
Yeah, and they're gorgeous.
And they're Christmas cactuses, right?
No.
What?
They're not Christmas cactuses. So when you look at the leaves, and these are kind of like padded leaves, it's a succulent. And so when you look at the leaves, you'll see the little spines on the side of yours that you have.
Okay.
It's kind of protruding spines.
Yeah.
Well, think of that as a fork that you eat turkey with. And that means that when you see those little forks, those tines on the side, that it is a Thanksgiving cactus.
They done sold me a Thanksgiving cactus.
Yes.
Under the illusion that it was Christmas.
Right. And the Christmas cactus has round padded leaves like Santa's belly. And so that way you know that there are Christmas cactuses. And then the Easter cactus is kind of easy because it blooms in March and April. And in fact, in Brazil, they call it a Mayflower because the cactus is blooming in our wintertime, then bloom in their springtime in April and May. So the Thanksgiving cactus, if you look on your cactus, you know, your holiday cactus, and you can see those spines on the side, then it is a Thanksgiving cactus. Very easy. You're going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving, and you need a fork to eat turkey with. I thought that was really a great way to explain it. And then the Christmas cactus has the padded sides, rounded sides, and like Santa Claus's. So that is wonderful. So I really, really do love that. And so if you'd like to go, I'm going to post a picture of it on our Facebook page. You can go and see it, and you'll be able to identify which cactus you have. And yes, they just label them as Christmas and Thanksgiving. But you can tell that the ones that bloom early around Thanksgiving, hint, hint, that have those tines that you eat turkey with is a Thanksgiving cactus. So I love doing that. So, you know, you can always learn something. And that was a big thank you to Lucas, and it's Lucas that he provided that little tip, and I loved it. So, that's wonderful. So, if you have a gardening question anytime during the next hour, so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. And so the herbs that you can be planting right now are anise and arugula, basil and borage, chive and cardamom, chervil and cilantro, coriander and dill and fennel. Our dill is just going bonkers.
Oh.
The butterflies love it. We still have swallowtails on it and caterpillars on it, and it's just incredible.
My basil has just, it grew, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 2.5 feet, and I had to uproot them because they were blocking airflow to your tomatoes that you gave me, and I said, y'all are out of here. But yes, my other basil, it's got flower on it. So
Wonderful. You don't want basil to go to flower. You got to just snip those off. And then so garlic and ginger, lavender and lemon balm, and lovage, Mexican tarragon. I love Bernays sauce. Tony always says to me, don't get saucy with me, Bernays. And so mint, and don't say the word mint around Lizzie. Nasturtiums, oregano, parsley, rosemary, and sage, sweet marjoram, thyme, and watercress. So this is a really great time. Try a few herbs in your garden, and you can tuck them in your garden beds, in the front of your house, or in a basket, in a container, and you can add them to your flowers and your garden beds. And so it's a really easy way to add edibles.
What I learned was listening to Teresa these last few years, I have my herb garden I have, it's a raised bed. I love it because it gives off the best aromas. And Brooke, who does our digital and fills in for me here, when her friends come over, they walk by and they just rub their hands on the plants. And they're just like, they're like, Miss Lizzie, this smells so good. I'm like, well, thank you. That's because Miss Teresa told me to do this.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, it's just getting into gardening, and this is a good time of the year to do it. And our plants are so happy now because they've gotten the water. So if you got an excessive amount of rain this week, or more than a half an inch, if you got more than a half an inch of rain, there is no reason for your irrigation to go on at all for the next 10 days. I'm letting you know, 10 days, do not water. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so proud to have you, and we are grateful for you. Thank you so much. This is the time of the year where we're starting to scramble for Christmas gifts. And for your gardener, there is so much to choose out there, but what would they really like? Well, bringing on right now is our good friend and editor of Home Garden and Homestead, Randy Schultz. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm doing great.
Well, I have been enjoying your Facebook post. You have been vacationing and looking like you've had a great time. Where have you been going?
Well, my wife and I flew to Rome. We spent 4 days in Rome, and then we boarded a cruise ship that kind of skipped along the Mediterranean coast and did an entire Atlantic crossing. They call that a repositioning cruise because the cruise ship is going to be in the Caribbean for the next several months. So they do a trip completely across the ocean, which was fabulous.
Oh, I can just imagine. That's how my mom came to the United States. She came over by boat, but the photographs looked wonderful. And so it is Thanksgiving week starting tomorrow. And what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to stay home. It's time for me to be home. It's time for me to embrace the colder season. Here in Colorado, it's already snowed twice.
Oh, wow. And so your garden is gone for the year, right?
My garden is done.
Wow.
My outdoor growing is done. And, you know, out here, you know, it'll snow and then it'll warm up. The last week, temperatures have been in the low 60s. So it feels like autumn.
Oh,
but we've
wonderful.
Already gotten that first blast of winter.
Wow. Well, that's great. I love doing that and asking you and living vicariously through the snow with you. So I'm here in Florida, but I do enjoy hearing about it. So Colorado is great. We have a granddaughter in Colorado, and she loves it there. So you came out with your gardening gifts for the gardener for Christmas, and I have to say I love them. I think these are just really the optimal gifts for gardeners, and it's things that normally you don't buy for yourself, so it makes a great gift. So start your list and let us know what you are choosing this year.
Well, we found some great stuff, and one of the things I loved was looking at looking at yard decor, which we've never covered in our annual list. So I found a wind spinner that has a solar panel, so it collects energy, solar energy, and at night your wind spinner, which of course is normally just a daytime thing, glows with this wonderful multicolored ball, the color-changing light. And that is just one of my favorite things. I think I'm going to get myself one of these.
I think I'm going to get one too. I love it. It is gorgeous, and I love the way that it's solar powered, and it and you can enjoy it at night. It spins at night, and that would be great right by a fire, or you know, just sitting in your garden bed watching the moon. That would be, or sitting in your garden watching the moon. That's it. It is beautiful. So, where would somebody find this?
It's on Amazon, and you can go to homegardenandhomestead.com, and the Christmas gift story is the first one that pops up on the main page. So just click on that, and that wind spinner is actually the first item in that story.
I think I love adding art to the garden, and I think more people should do it and add whimsy to the garden. It just creates such a personality. So that's a great one. And so now, so you have also practical decorative items too. So what is next on your list?
Well, the next one is the metal plant labels. And everybody knows about labeling rows in your garden if you plant a row of peas or you know, a section of cucumbers. But I don't know about you, but when you make your homemade signs, they tend to kind of fade and fizzle.
They don't last very long, for sure.
They don't last long. So the metal plant labels that we found are made out of steel. And they're already pre-done. You know, you buy one if you're planting tomatoes, and you buy one if you're planting peppers. There are 45 different ones that are already pre-made, right? And these are meant to last. These are going to last for years. So all the crops that you would normally grow, including herbs, you can buy a separate sign for each one, right? They're available individually. But my favorite, this company has a sense of humor. So you can also buy one that says weeds, and you can also buy one that says, I don't know.
I love that. That's so cute. And, you know, it's just,
fun.
It is fun. And I think it's something that, you know, we don't think of doing on a regular basis as far as, you know, we know that we're supposed to label our plants, but putting down an actual sign really makes it look you know, like a professional or a really well cared for garden. And so
absolutely. And these things, these signs are, they look good. I mean, they're garden art in their own way, but it's practical and it's informational.
It, well, and it's honest too. If you say weeds and I don't know, I love that. And so, and again, they can find this and the source on homegardenandhomestead.com. And so what's your next one?
Well, I like, you know, we've talked about cobra head weeders.
Yes.
And I want people to know that as we get older, and I'm in that category, bending over to pull weeds is not as much fun as it used to be. So the cobra head weeder also comes in a long handle version. And it's so much easier to use when you can stand up and weed your garden.
Oh, I think it's so important too, because bending over just gets very tiresome, and especially in the heat here in Florida. And so what kind of weeds can this long handle weeder take care of?
Oh, pretty much everything. Dandelions and anything that grows, anything pesky that grows in your garden in the blank space where, you know, that the plants haven't filled out. I mean, weeds are so opportunistic. And this, the little shape of the cobra head really digs down and pulls the weed out by the roots. So it'll handle everything.
And it's American made. That's what I like about it. It's a great tool, and it helps me from bending over. That's for me. I like that.
Yeah, it's a family business in Wisconsin, and they have a high quality product.
Wonderful. And so now for the next one, I know that this is getting to be more and more popular, and people are, you know, trying out new garden trends, and this is one of them, and cities and counties are allowing it. So what is your next Christmas item?
Well, I mean, one of the things that COVID gave us was a lot of time to spend at home. So gardening, as you know, took off again, you know, backyard vegetable gardening and whatnot. But the other thing that happened for gardeners is so many of them discovered that keeping a few hens in the backyard is a wonderful way to add eggs to your diet, right? Chickens, a mature hen will lay an egg a day, most of them. And so that's a great source of, you know, food from your yard.
And protein,
so chicken keeping is the biggest trend of the last few years. So we picked the Backyard Chicken Keeper's Bible as a great gift. And this is, it's almost an encyclopedia for people who want to learn about chickens. You know, with what breeds to have in the backyard, how to take care of them. Everything you need to know is in this one book, and it's marvelous.
I think that's wonderful. And, you know, we used to always have chickens. They're good for, you know, getting bugs, getting rid of bugs, and then also your weeds. They will eat your weeds, too, as well. So
absolutely. They're very, very productive and handy little critters to have in your backyard.
Now, if we can just get them to keep the squirrels away, that would be good. And so,
well, I don't know about that.
And so, another big gardening trend is going to more natural landscapes. And what garden Christmas garden gift do you have that is perfect for someone who would like to create a natural landscape habitat?
Well, there's a delightful little book called Mini Meadows, written by Mike Lazat, who one of the founders of American Meadows, and it is a great book. It kind of reframes the idea of what a meadow garden looks like, because you can plant a very small area in wildflowers and have a very attractive, naturalistic part of your yard, and it's not difficult. The book tells you everything you need to know. A lot of it is just knowing how Mother Nature grows the meadow and duplicating that. But a great little book, great photos, very inspirational, and very practical if you want to grow wildflowers.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I think that would make a great gift, a great stocking stuffer, and that's wonderful. I'm going to go down to your electric chainsaw, but there's some really unique composites of this chainsaw. So tell us about that. We've got just a few minutes left, Randy.
Everybody knows what a chainsaw is. And electric chainsaws, like so many other electric power tools, are, you know, they've come so far. They now rival the gas-powered in terms of, you know, actual performance. But my favorite is the mini electric chainsaw, because it's the size of a pair of loppers in terms of, you know, how it functions, but it's power. And so you can go out and trim a tree or a bush in seconds now. It's just a great little tool. And so we picked one from, you know, there's a lot of different models out there, but it's a great thing to add to your garden shed with all your other garden tools, and it makes a great gift.
That's wonderful. I think that I definitely am going to get two or three of these items just for gardens and just for gardeners, and I love them. Thank you so much, Randy. You tell us where we can find this list and where we can hear your podcast, Camp Codgers.
Well, you can find all these products on homegardenandhomestead.com. And it's the Gifts for Gardeners story is the very first thing you'll see. And Camp Codger is our website for the podcast, campcodger.com. Listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We have fun with the whole idea of having a rich, full life in older age.
Thank you so much, Randy. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Randy Schultz, and you can go to Home Garden and Homestead to find all of these gifts. They're really amazing. I've got three of them I'm going to get, and I love them. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to our website and you can catch it on podcast on iHeartRadio. And also, too, we will load it to our Facebook page and you can click and download it from there. So We love being able to access it 24/7. You just don't have to get up on Saturday mornings.
That's right. Exactly. And catch us later.
And so really great text messages here. Linda, Zone 8B, said that she bought one of those mini chainsaws, and she says it is really super great. So thank you, Linda, for letting us know. I appreciate that. And it is a great gift. You know, I was looking at olive trees, getting an olive tree for a client yesterday, and it had one of the branches going straight up that it was only about a 1-inch caliper just for the one branch, but the rest of the tree was much bigger, and I wanted to take that branch off, and so a little mini chainsaw would have been perfect for it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I really love that you can have it in the hand. All I'm thinking of is these, you know, retirees and with chainsaws going around and being able to trim plants, and I think that's really cool. So speaking of olive trees, good morning. I have an olive tree that's about 15 feet tall. How do we get it to produce olives, and should I prune? All right. And so I don't know where you're located, but I'm going to tell you that there's only certain varieties of olive trees that produce fruit, and so, or produce olives. And so one of those is the Arbequina and the Oleo Europeana Arbequina. And that would be the best one that I found that produces the most here in Florida, Central Florida and South Florida. So I would have to say you have to figure out what kind of olive tree you have. Make sure that you purchase the one that will produce fruit. And then the second thing is you want to make sure you're fertilizing it on a regular basis. So you say it's about 15 feet tall. So I'm going to think that it's probably 2 to 3 years old, and it should be getting fertilized at least 3 times a year. And so, one, do a soil analysis and figure out what you want to fertilize it with. But just when we want plants to produce fruit, they just need some little extra energy. And so, one, make sure it's in full sun. Two, make sure you're fertilizing it correctly. And then three, you just might have to wait to see if it will produce. It may be doing it for next year. No, I would not prune it now. You can always take off branches that are in your way or that are causing, you know, to constrict the airflow, but I wouldn't prune it back to get it to fruit. Okay, so if you send me a picture of it, then I can go ahead and I can tell you if you need to prune it or where you need to prune it, and then find out where you bought it from, what kind of olive tree it is. Make sure it's one that does produce fruit. So that's a really good tip then, a reminder that before you buy something that produces fruit, or you think it does, make sure that you either have, one, a right variety, and two, that sometimes you need an extra male or female tree with it, or extra trees to get it to produce. Now, that's not the case with olives. You only need one olive tree to self-producing or self-pollinating. So that's the case. So let me know how you do. Send me a picture, and I can tell you if it needs pruned or not. So great question. Then Joy from Winter Springs has a poinsettia question. And she says, I have a poinsettia plant from last year in an enclosed patio. It was beautiful, like Lizzie's one, dark wine color flowers starting. I watered it like I usually do on a Friday, went away for the weekend, and I came back. All the leaves, she's got all the leaves in capital letters, fell off. What happened? I don't know. If you watered it too much or you kept it where it was, the roots were saturated, the leaves could have fallen off due to the stress of that. It could have been one of those weeks a couple of weeks ago where we had a really cold night, and it got so cold that the leaves stressed out and it fell. So I would have to know what you did. Sometimes when we over-fertilize too, you can stress it out and the leaves would fall. So it was kind of one of those three things. Either it got, well, one, it did stress out for some reason. We just have to figure out why. One, it could be overwatering. Two, it could be over-fertilizing. Or three, it could be cold temperatures that dropped, even in one night, that would cause it to lose its leaves. So if it got down into the 50s, you could have lost that one.
Hmm.
So you can give us a call on your gardening question, 855-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And so we can love that. Thought IFA said not to fertilize olives in Florida. No, that's I don't necessarily think that's true. It may say that it may not need to be fertilized. Do a soil test before. But, you know, plants do need fertilizing. You've just got to figure out what kind of nutrients it needs. Soil analysis always says that will tell you what you need to fertilize it with. That may not be the issue, and it may not need to be fertilized. But fertilizing is, you know, important, especially in the sandy areas where we have a lot of minerals but not a lot of nutrients. So, you know, it's just good to always get a soil test.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. And we were talking about maybe doing that for Christmas presents for people. You know, if you're looking for something, that's not a bad idea. Find out, you know, what area they're in and if you order them or where they need to get all the information for them and then find out the cost and then maybe give them a Visa gift card along with all the information.
Sure. You know, those soil tests that you can get at the extension office, you can go and you can purchase them from your local county extension. Very easy to do. Get the soil test and then you send it away. It takes about a week to get it back and it will tell you exactly what you have in your soil. So if you'd like to go to Amazon, you can purchase it online from either Agritech, A-G-R-I-T-E-C-H. It is called Soil Test, all one word, Soil Test Kit from Agritech, and it is available online, about $32. And that is worth it, especially if you're paying for fertilizing from a landscape company or a, you know, chemical or control pest control company. You're paying for fertilizer applications. You may not need to be doing it. And so you'll probably save a couple of hundred dollars a year and by doing a soil test for $30.
There you go.
So that is completely worth it. All right. So Linda says, I'm older than dirt, used big chainsaw all my life. This mini has us in mind with a safety over the blade. So this older than dirt feels okay using it. Well, I'm so glad. So 1-888-455-2967. And you can text us at 23680. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And we had George in Polk City. He said that, you know, IFA said not to fertilize. Well, it said nitrogen. Over-fertilizing with nitrogen can cause the olive tree to grow leaves instead of fruit. And that is true. That's with everything. So we don't want to fertilize plants that are really liking dry conditions. And one of those is bougainvillea. They do not like to be fertilized, okay? When you fertilize bougainvillea, they grow lots of leaves and they don't produce any flowers. And so that's the downside of fertilizing. You want to make sure that you're not over-fertilizing. But olive trees do need the micronutrients. And so getting a soil test before you fertilize is always recommended. And that will help you out. The Mediterranean plants, you know, African plants, don't need a lot of fertilizer because the plants that the soil conditions they grow in don't have it. And so these plants have learned to thrive on really poor soil.
Ooh,
so
okay.
good catch there, George. Thank you so much. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City too. And she has a question. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. We have had so much rain that I have my waterfront property back.
Put it up for
We did get a lot of rain, didn't we? I mean,
oh, we did. It poured for 2 days, and then it rained yesterday.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes, I'm not complaining, though.
No, we need it.
Yes, we did. I have holes in my plants. Mm-hmm. Do I still have grasshoppers?
No, not necessarily grasshoppers, but you may have caterpillars, you know, larvae that is eating it. Are the holes on the ends of the, or the outside of the foliage, or are they on the inside?
They're in the outside.
They're on the outside. Well, that could be caused by grasshoppers. It could be, but it could also be other types of worms too as well. So I would need to see a picture to determine if it's grasshoppers. But what plant is it?
That autumn sedum red, the plants that you were not too thrilled about, that I'm not too thrilled about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Both.
It could be, it could be grasshoppers. It could be. You know, we are still seeing lubber grasshoppers. They're laying eggs for next year and stuff. So it could be. But I would just say you can put 7 on the plant, and that will prevent anything from eating it, and it will, it's safe for the yard.
Okay.
All right, I have
7.
There you go.
And I'm not too thrilled. That was a big mistake buying those plants.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you not put them out by the side of the road and encourage someone else to take them?
I might.
To a good home. Just put a sign saying, to a good home. There you go. Well, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Eileen.
You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, too.
All right.
I'm feeding my Alzheimer's friend and his son across the street. And then my son's coming with his girlfriend. She hasn't been here for years.
Oh.
Neither has him. Yeah.
So, well, congratulations. So enjoy them. Enjoy.
Oh, I am. So you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Appreciate you. Bye-bye. And so so Joy just texted back, and she wants to know if her poinsettia is going to come back. And it will. Dry it out or see what's, you know, going on. Leave it so that it doesn't get cold. Just be careful with it being cold if it's on the patio, and we're going to get a little cold snap. And that's anything below 50 for poinsettias. Go ahead and bring it indoors or cover it and make sure it should come back. So keep trying with that. And so Bill in, Orlando, says, regarding olive trees, as living in Florida for a long time, I don't recall olive trees being planted here in Florida. Are these specially modified or bred for Florida's climate? I will tell you, Bill, they do really well here in Florida. It's a kind of a new crop. We've been growing them for about 10 to 12 years. They've been kind of popular, getting more popular every year. But the Florida's climate is wonderful for them. They just like dry soil. So right here in the the Claremont area, Lake County, Ocala, and then also down near Tampa, they do tremendous. So it was looked at as a new crop, you know, to kind of replace the orange trees, the orange industry. So, yeah, they do fine here. I love them. They just do really well. So you want to get ones, again, that are self-producing. Arbequina seems to be very popular here, and it does produce fruit. So great question, Bill. Thank you for listening. And so let's see. I want to make sure that you know to go to our Facebook page and like us. And then also, too, you can hear the show anytime on our podcast as well, you know, 24/7. Just Google Better Lawns and Gardens. Go to our website, betterlawns.com. And also, too, anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can hear it.
That's right.
And so for the rest of the month, I know we're going to be, you know, interested in getting getting ready for Thanksgiving. So you may not be doing a lot of things in your garden or your landscape, but this is the time of the year to, if you want to plant cool season vegetables, you can do it. And then also, too, it's a good time to refresh the sandy soils. If you'd like to amend the soils, you want to amend the entire garden bed, not just a single hole. We do not recommend putting in organic amendments into a single hole. And the reason for that is that, you just cause the hole, the roots to get used to that soil. And when that soil is depleted and used up, it will start to girdle itself. Whereas adding the entire organic amendments to the entire bed leaves the plant able to send the roots out and hold on to moisture longer. It, is good for the nutrition in it for the plant, but it doesn't stay in that single hole. So if you've ever had a plant that died and you took it up out of the ground and it was in the same shape as when you planted it, those roots did not extend out anymore, it was a good chance that it girdled itself, and a good chance that you amended that single hole. Amend the entire garden bed, and it will be much better off for it. So if you'd like to go to our website, we can also, you'll see the dirty words of the month. We'll start back with those next week. You know, start the holiday season off with dirty words. And also to, you know, you can get what to do each month in your garden. Now, I had a request. I had a gentleman who emailed me and said, Teresa, I signed up for your newsletter and I haven't received it. And he signed up in September. Well, I will tell you that my schedule has been so busy that I put the newsletter on hiatus. But because of your email, I'm going to start it back up again next month. So the newsletter is going to start back up with the December issue and then also starting the new year off on the right foot. And I will have the newsletter coming out and you can go to our website and sign up for it. My website is she-consulting.com. You can do that too as well. So I want to thank everyone who shares their gardening questions. This is the time of the year to be grateful and to, you know, speak out to the universe and tell everybody how blessed you are. And so whether you call or you text or you email your gardening questions, Lizzie, we just appreciate them being part of our lives.
Exactly. Yes, our listeners, you all are amazing. We have some of the best listeners. They interact with us. They either text us or they call us. Many years I've been in radio. The station has got some of the best listeners. So thank you for interacting with us.
I do appreciate that. I have a quick text message. Good morning. This is Lori in St. Cloud. I have a mom that I transplanted into a bigger pot. I think that's a mum.
Spell text, yeah.
Yeah,
correction.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry.
Into a bigger pot this fall from the store pot, and I'm wondering how long it will thrive in that pot before I need to put it in the ground because I'm planning on moving in late spring. I would say if you moved it into a bigger pot, keep it in that pot till you move in the springtime and plant it wherever you're going to move there. Don't plant it in the ground this winter, okay? So that'll be fine. So go ahead, and I hope that is a chrysanthemum, not mom. Thank you to all our callers and listeners. We hear from you, and we do appreciate you taking the time to listen. I want to thank Carol Cloud Bailey, the yard doc, for her excellent advice on poinsettias. If you missed it, you can go back and hear it on our podcast. If you're in South Florida, catch your columns in Treasure Coast Palm Newspaper's archives. And to Randy Schultz, our good friend and editor of HomeGardenAndHomestead.com and his podcast on Camp Codger. It is delightful. If you like to listen to podcasts and you're an old codger, then, or Camp Codger, you're a codger. There you go. You don't necessarily need to be old to be a codger.
Exactly.
So you can go and you can catch that on Home Garden and Homestead. Also, it's Thanksgiving. Time to be grateful to all our wonderful sponsors. Dana Venrick of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, Black Cow, Peterson Nursery, and Summit Responsible Solutions. Lizzie, thank you. I am so grateful for all the hours and hard work you give every day.
Thank you, and thank you, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of Mosquito Bits and Dunks and Organic Year-Round Oil Spray, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment.
Make sure you guys go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, and check out our cool contests. Especially with the holidays coming up, we're giving away some really cool holiday gifts. WFLAOrlando.com.
That's 800-513-1652.